I appreciate Herman so very much. I always had great respect for him, still do. And as Herman said, the fire still burning in my bosom is strong, or stronger than ever, for world evangelism. I thought it all over at the beginning. I've never changed my mind. I've never left my first love. As far as I know, now God may have charged against me that I left my first love, but so far as I know before God, I've never left my first love. When a man marries a woman marries a man, they have a first love. And after that, it'll drift off. You get away from that. But as far as I know, I've never left my first love in the Lord. I love him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. The Bible speaks of people leaving their first love, telling them to repent and do their first works over. See, and have that same drive you had for God when you first come to him. Have that same love. Have that same longing. The thing that made God love David so. David said, my heart panteth after God like the heart does the water brook. On a hot day, you know how the heart, the deers, and whatever, pant after the water brook when they've run in the sun. Well, that's the way my heart is. My heart is so hungry, it's thirsty. It pants after God like the heart of the water brook. See, I have eternal life. I'm a son of God. I passion death and life. Many hundreds of things that we could say here. Some of the things perhaps you would question. But see, I've experienced these things. I'm alive forevermore. I once was dead in trespasses and sin. Jesus said I once was dead. He stood in the midst of the candlesticks. Said I'm alive forevermore. And so then I'm alive forevermore. I once was dead. And sin killed me, even as it did Jesus. But the Bible said that I'm to reckon myself to be dead indeed by the body of the Lord Jesus to sin. And Paul said, the world dead to me and be dead to the world by the body of Jesus. And said, alive unto God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For God brought Jesus. And Jesus was delivered to Calvary for my offenses. And he was raised again for my justification, to show that everything was clear between me and God. Reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Usually, coming to church, I don't know anything until I open my Bible. But this morning, on the way to church, I opened my Bible up, and the Lord gave me this to speak to you. It's from the book of Deuteronomy. It is the 25th verse of the fourth chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you can read along with me. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image of the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off of the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathens, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. For I ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptation, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Unto thee it was shewed that thou mightest know that the Lord he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon the earth he shewed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities, he might live. Now, my, there's so much here to talk about, and so many things we could speak on, until it's hard to know just exactly where to start. The Bible is a great living book. It's a powerful book. It's an anointed book. For me to read any place in it, I can just go with the sermon from cover to cover. And I have read it from cover to cover, and I'm sure you have too. He says in the 26th verse, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off of the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. He tells them here in the 30th verse, set in the latter days, if things happen to you because of your disobedience, if you'll call on the Lord, then he'll restore you. God will hear from heaven and he will restore you if you call on the Lord. So then, I want to talk with you just a few minutes concerning these things. There is such a thing as getting over the Jordan. You know, it hasn't been so very far back that I baptized Sister Cook back here in the River Jordan. We can get over the Jordan. There is a Jordan that we can get over, that we must get over. And if we fail to get over the Jordan, then we perish in the wilderness. So you can get over the Jordan. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by the Jordan? A lot of times I say things like this, or I use expressions like this, because thoughts arise in your heart. Jesus asked the question, why do thoughts arise in your heart? And I pick up thoughts in your heart. They arise in your heart. So I say these things, see. So then, what do you mean, Brother Pike, about getting over the Jordan? I'm speaking of getting over the Jordan like this. God made a Jordan River. I've been there to it. Some of you have been there to it. There's a Jordan River. It's over in the Holy Land. God made this Jordan River. But the question arises in our hearts, why did God make a Jordan River? Why did he make a Jordan River? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what God did, he just created the world. He created mankind. He wanted the world. He wanted people. He wanted them to live in it and have a good time, and that's the way it is. That is some of the way that it is. But when God made everything, knowing that man was going to fall, comprehending it from the beginning, he also fashioned this world in this act of creation in such a way that everything that's in the world today represents something spiritual. He did that you and I, being subjected to the vanities of this world, could find our way in God, and that we could, by those natural symbolic things, God speaking to us through similitudes, that we could find our way through this life. And that in finding our way through this life, going through this life, that we could understand the heavenly things by the observation of natural things. Now, I want you to listen to me real close now. First of all, you might say, why do we have to observe things, Brother Pike, as to a spiritual indoctrination or a spiritual understanding? You have to do that because you are a spiritual person. You are spiritual people. You're not natural people. You are spiritual people. You might say, Brother Pike, I'm not a spiritual person. I'm a natural person. Well, if so be that you're natural, then you don't belong to God. But I'm speaking as unto children of God. So then, there is a natural world. There is a spiritual world. There is a world out here that's natural. And there are natural people, teenagers, that are giving themselves fully to the natural. To rock and roll and to do the things that are unclean and ungodly. And they're magnified and they're lifted up everywhere you can see it, especially around this little sonic end up here. And you see this awful thing. And like I said to Betty, I said, Betty, this is a real tragedy. This is a real problem. I said, because I perceive in picking up some spirits from different ones that some of these are deacons' children. And some of these are preachers' children that are out here. I said, I can tell. See, and this is where the calamity is. That ought not to be, folks. But it just proves one thing, that though you be born in a preacher's family, though you come from a deacon's family, it makes no difference. If you're not born again, you're going to go to hell. You may come and play the instruments. You may come and sing, and Daddy may make allowance for you. Mama may make allowance for you, but you're still on your way to hell. It doesn't matter whose son or daughter you are, whether it's the president's or whether it's the preacher's or whether it's the garbage man, you're still on your way to hell. God isn't going to accept Daddy nor Mother nor anyone else. God is going to judge you as an individual, and you as an individual, you're going to have to give an account to God, beloved friend. All right, so then we understand each other. It is a truth fact that I see these things. There is a natural world, and there is a spiritual world. In that natural world, those people don't understand. There's no need of you pouncing on them. There's no need of you degrading them. There's no need of you trying to put them down just to find fault with them. Because they are natural beasts. Those people are beasts. They don't know anything like you know. They are not what you are. They are beasts. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you really believe that them people out there are beasts? There are scattered among those people some elect. There are some that's out there that's sons and daughters of God that's been caught in the turnover. They've been caught in the traffic. And they will eventually hear the voice of God. And like it was said in the little illustration, that little eagle that had gotten down there in the barnyard with the chicks after a while is going to be able to distinguish between voices. And it's going to hear that heavenly cry from that mother. And it's going to go up, as it was said here concerning Moses, said, what people in the world have ever heard the voice of God from heaven? Folks, I hear the voice of God from heaven. Do you hear the voice of God from heaven? The Bible said, and we're God's sheep. We know His voice. We hear His voice. We acknowledge God in all of our ways, and God directs our path. Can you say amen? Now, those people are beasts. Not only are they beasts, but some of them are brute beasts. Brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. They were before of old ordained under this condemnation. The Bible said ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, bringing upon them swift damnation and the judgments of God. So then they are beasts, and some of them are in brutality. Those are beasts. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Did you know that this is the day of the grace of God? That the blood of Jesus is on the seat of atonement? And that at this time you can have the grace of God and find salvation? Or you can take advantage of the grace of God in the day that we're living in and turn it into lasciviousness, that is, do your own filthy, lewd things? by taking advantage of that grace and turn that day of grace into a time of lasciviousness. So then these men are people that take advantage of the days of grace, because if it wasn't for the days of grace, God would utterly destroy them. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, God would open up the earth as he did in the days of Moses and say, as Moses did, let them go down to the pit quickly. I want to say this to you. Those people are brute beasts. Now then, they are blinded by the God of this world. Are you listening now? They are blinded by the God of this world. You say, what do you mean by the God of this world? How many of you know who the God of this world is? Someone would say, well, I know that God Almighty is the God of this world. No, God Almighty is not the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. That's why you preachers, that's why you Christians have the problems that you do. That's why the IRS, all the things of this world, that's why they pounce upon you. They did Jesus that way when Jesus sent Peter down to get the money out of the fish's mouth. Isn't that right? They did him the same way. They threw the early church into jail. And they pounced on the early church. Didn't they do it? They let people like Barabbas go free. Why? Because the world loveth its own. Let me warn you something, especially you teenagers. Don't you get out there in the traffic. You may feel like you're blending in with these people. And you may see some pretty faces and some pretty forms from jogging and weightlifting and all these other things and from powder and paint. You may see something that's enticing. And you may be drawn away from your steadfastness in God through temptation. You may do that. But let me tell you something. That's the devil that you're dealing with. It may have a pretty face. It may have a pretty form. But that's the devil. Jesus, when Peter did what he did, he numbered him with the devil. He said, get behind me, Satan. He said, I chose 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. Anytime a human body numbers itself with a devil, then it is a devil. Anytime it numbers itself with God, it is a god. Jesus said, ye are gods. Ye are gods. You can be a devil, or you can be a god. It's up to you as to what you want to be. So then, when you get out there with them, you may see those pretty faces, but remember, you're flirting with death. And remember that death is all around you with all of their strong, I'll say it that way, personalities. All of their protruding ways of life. They're weaving a web. And it may sparkle as the dewdrops of the morning. You ever seen a web early in the morning with the sun shining on it? It's real colorful, the dewdrops hanging on it. But don't you get near it. Satan is the prince of this world, folks. You stay away from it, especially you young people. Stay away from it. When I tell you to stay away from it, Brother Pike wants to emphasize that. Stay away from that. Don't get out there with them. I might get a little excited sometimes when I'm talking, but you stay away from it. God loves you. You're God's. See, you're not an Elvis Presley. You're not some beetle. You're not some beatnik. You're not something that you saw on the movie screen. You're God's people. You're a great, mighty God's. That's the beast out there. Those people are beasts out there. You don't want to mess around with them. Stay away from them. See, don't get close to those people. God's got a work for you. God's got leadership for you. God's got a talent for you. God's got something that he wants you to do. When you get up here behind the sacred desk, don't try to adopt Elvis Presley's dirty ways. Don't try to bring rock and roll into the house of God. And when you sing up here, coo at the women like some little, I don't know what to call it, standing around up here with a guitar hanging in front of you, or some kind of a something, and you're cooing at the women trying to stir up lust. Don't do that. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to get up here and sing with the anointing of God. He wants you to get anointed by the Holy Spirit, not by the devil. He doesn't want you to coo the flesh and draw the flesh and trying to get a house full of fleshly people. If you're going to do that, you might as well have joined the Catholic Church and get out there with them. But folks, God wants you to be anointed of Christ, anointed with the Holy Ghost and the power of God. And he wants you to be a God, a great light to shine to the ends of the earth. Read the Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When you get up here, come pray it up. Come up here fasting. Come up here seeking God. Come up here looking for Christ, looking for something for God. You know, and trying to reach out there and get those teenagers and pulling them out of the fire. The Bible said to pull them out of the fire, pulling the people out of the fire, hating the garments that's spotted with iniquity or with sin. Bring them in, the song said. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Hallelujah. So then, when I say these things, I'm trying to remind you that you don't want to be out there. That's a bunch of blind folks. And the Bible said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And the Bible said, the great whore is the ditch, and the great whore is the flesh. The one that's not subject to God. The one that God will not give his name to. As to the first man, as to the first woman, that's death. That's born into death, and Adam all die. But in Christ, in the regeneration, in Christ Jesus, all are made alive. Folks, we're living oracles today. Did you know that? We're not zircons. We're not some false stone. We're filled with fire. We've got fire burning on the inside of us. We've got something musing on the inside of us, something that is moving around on the inside of us, something that, like fire, shut up in my bones. Like the song I wrote one time called Fire in My Bosom. Fire in my bosom is like fire shut up in my bones. So then, we are children of God. We're not trying to entice to get a church full. Brother Herman knows how to fill this church up. All he's got to do is have a few singings here and just let anything in and they'll run this church over. All he's got to do is get in fellowship with the governor up there and he can run this church over. I can do that many times over, but we're not looking for that. Ruth was a gleaner. She just got whatever was left over from the rest of them. She wasn't trying to draw a big crowd, trying to reach the people like that. She wanted to do what she knew was right to do in her heart. And she wanted to be loyal. She'd be a loyal woman. Remember how Ruth did. She was altogether different from the other one, from Martha. Altogether different. One wanted to go out in the world. One wanted to go back over here, stay on the other side of Jordan. One wanted to get on the other side of Jordan. And this one that wanted to get on the other side of Jordan found her place with God's people and said, your people shall be my people. And wherever you are, that's where I'm going to be. Folks, why isn't it like that today? If you say that you're Ruth, if you say that you belong to God, if you say that you're this great, wonderful people that I'm speaking of, why is it that you don't stay on your side of the Jordan? Why is it that you don't get on the right side of Jordan? You say, what do you mean Jordan, Brother Pye? How many of you know that this old carnal mind is Jordan? God made a Jordan River, allegorically speaking, for one reason, and this is the truth, so help me God. He did it for one reason, and that was to show the carnal mind. I know that for sure. It's not guesswork. He made it. He'd have never made a Jordan River except for one purpose, and that was an allegoric purpose to show the carnal mind that just as Moses took them over the Red Sea and Joshua took them over the Jordan, so is God moving you by Jesus Christ, the Word of God, into the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is God's Joshua, can take you into the spiritual things of God and take you over that intellectual reasoning of yours. And folks, we're right there at that great deliverance now. The church has come over the Red Sea. That is to say, over the bloodline. It's come over the blood. It's come over the blood. And we know that Pharaoh was swallowed up. As we come over the blood. Back at Calvary, he was swallowed up. We sing that song, my sins are gone, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. And so then my sins are gone by Calvary. They're gone. God took them away, folks. I don't have them anymore. I'm free from sin. The Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. You know, a lot of people, their salvation just reaches from one revival to another revival. You know, but this kind of salvation I'm talking about, it does not reach from one revival to one revival. It reaches from eternity to eternity. And this thing is real. This thing will keep you spotless. This thing will keep you full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, be filled with the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. God wants you to be full of the Holy Ghost. Folks, God's for you. God isn't against you. God isn't against you. When ministers put you down and when people try to hurt you and folks want to trample on you, God is with you. Don't let anybody put you down. You're God's. You're either God's or you're not God's. You understand? Somebody said, well, I was God's yesterday, but I'm not today. You're either God's today, tomorrow, and forever, or you're not God's at all. Hallelujah. I appreciate you, pastors. Amen. So then, you're God's. Today, you're God's. You're not man, you're God. Oh, Brother Pike, you blow the fuse for sure. No. Remember, you're God's. He said to the people, he said, you're God's. Jesus said that. God said that. He said, you're God's. But he said, you're going to die like me. Somebody would say, well, if we're God's, why do we die, Brother Pye? Because he said you'd die like men. Now, why did he say that you would die like men? Come on, folks. Why did he say that you would die like men? What caused the death in the garden? It was the old tree of knowledge. Isn't that right? And falling after education, falling after the frolics of the world, falling after things of the world. Isn't that right? Falling after lust. Sin is in the world today by lust. Eve looked, she lusted, sin came into the world. Isn't that right? Enticed, then drawn away from your steadfastness. And then conception by lust. And sin comes forth. And when it finishes, death is the end of it. So then why do you die? For one reason. The Bible said you shall die like men from the lack of knowledge. From the lack of knowledge. It couldn't be worldly knowledge. What kind of knowledge is he speaking of? Not knowing that you are eternal. Not knowing in that you don't know, you can't believe. And it's by faith that just lives. It's by faith that in it was translated. It's by faith that you have eternal life. It's by faith that salvation comes. Not knowing, you can't understand. You can't, are not hearing the word of God. Not knowing, you can't believe, because faith cometh by the knowing. Faith cometh by the word of God. But we've been so prone to be like children, to dance and shout and run and holler, jump, have a good time, somebody said. Not getting anything, and they dance and shout in the church today and tomorrow. They're over yonder dancing and shouting by the jukebox and the things out there because they don't know anything. Somebody said they're a bunch of wretches. They're not wretched. The preacher's wretched. The people's wretched. That is the elders, the leaders, they're wretched. It's the deacons that's wretched because they don't tell them any better. And they think they can do that and still do this. And the Bible said you can't eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So then, it is because of the lack of understanding. Folks, we are gods. We pass from death unto life. It's not a matter of going to pass from death unto life. We pass from death unto life. You say, Brother Pike, what do I have to do to be holy? You don't have to do anything. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God, Jesus Christ. I'm the Lord Jesus, he said. I've done the works. All you got to do is believe in what I've done for you. Come on, folks. But at the same time, he said, if you name the name of the Lord Jesus, you withdraw from iniquity. Not because it's going to save you, because it's already saved you. Come on now. God saved you while you were yet in your sins. God so loved you when you knew nothing of God that he sent the prized piece of heaven for you. He sent Jesus to die for your sins while you was wandering around out in the world having no thoughts toward God whatsoever. Folks, having begun in the Spirit through the things of God, what makes us think that the flesh is going to make us perfect now? Come on, folks. I'm talking about real holiness. So then my salvation is not merited of anything that I can do. My salvation is by the faith of Jesus Christ, not by my faith, but by his faith. The Bible says they were kept under the law until the showing of the faith, or until the time of the faith, which was the faith of Jesus Christ, after God's bar mitzvah. And then God accepted us as dear children. You're God's children today. How good then are we, Brother Pike? The Bible said, he that is born of God, and I'm sure that we've got born again believers here today. He that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. You say, oh, Brother Pike, he's touched me a lot of times. Satan has never touched you, my brother, my sister. Never. Never has he ever touched you. Never. not at any time. And he touches you not. Why? Because you're kept by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of the redemption of that body. That inward seal, Satan cannot get close to it. Darkness has no fellowship with light. It cannot get close to that Holy Spirit that's got your spirit sealed. You are perfect all the days of your life, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. You say, well, Brother Pine, why does the preacher always hammer on us, preaching to us about these ritualistics, all these conformities of the human body, or the human person? Why does he do that? Because we're after the redemption of the body, folks. There is a generation that's coming to something that's not going to die in their body. Read it in the Bible. Enoch didn't die. Enoch was translated that he might not see death. By faith he was translated, Paul says, in the New Testament. So then there's some people that's going to get past the grave. That generation is coming in. You're not going to go down into the dirt. They're not going to throw the dirt in your face. Because you're going to come to some kind of understanding. What kind of understanding? Glory to God that we're gods. And that the devil doesn't have any power over us. The Bible said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Even death, the last enemy to be conquered, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then, we find ourselves gods. Jesus said, you are gods. When they started to stone Jesus, Jesus said, tell me something. For what good work do you stone me? For what good work do you stone me? They said, we don't stone you for a good work. Because you opened the eyes of the blind, we don't stone you. Said, we don't stone you for healing the crippled. Said, but you being a man, you make yourself God. For this we stone you. Come on, folks. Jesus, did you do that? Did you do that, Jesus? Did you actually stand before them and make yourself God? He must have. Did Jesus try to change it? Did he say, wait a minute, fellas, I didn't mean it like that? He didn't do that, did he? He didn't do that. He just stood right there because he knew what he was doing. Since you being a man, make yourself God. Since for this we stone you. Jesus said, is it not written in the scriptures that I called ye gods? Those great Bible scholars sitting there, chiding with God Almighty in a human form. He said, didn't I say in the scriptures that you're gods? What kind of Bible scholars are you? He could have said. Don't you know the Bible? You talk about the Old Testament, the scrolls of Moses. And here you condemn me as great Bible scholars. Why, he could have said, you're not even good Bible scholars. Have you never read in the book of Psalms? He said, I've called ye gods. I've called ye gods. If then the word coming unto you, and it is said unto you that you're gods, why then say ye that I blaspheme because I say that I'm a son of God? I've said this a number of times to clarify thoughts. As to bring it down to a level to where even the children can understand it. Isn't it a true fact that when a little cat brings kittens into the world that they are cats? Can anybody deny that? And when a dog brings the little pups into the world, aren't those dogs? And an elephant brings the little one into the world, isn't it an elephant? And if a human being brings something into the world, isn't it a human being? Why then we should we question the fact that when God brings something into the world, that it is a God. The Bible said you are born of God. He's our Heavenly Father. If He's our Heavenly Father, if we're born of God, how could you be anything but gods? You've got to be gods, folks. And what is a God? Someone would say, Brother Pine. A God is something that cannot die. There's no way a God can die. When you're born of God, you're born. You pass from death unto life. There's no possible way for you to die. Now you would say, but Brother Pye, I know that men die. I see them put them in the hole. I hope you don't mind me talking to you for just a few more minutes here. Alright, you say, Brother Pye, I see them put them in the hole. They die. We've had people to die here. What's the problem? Let me tell you something. You've never had a Christian to die from here. There ain't never been a son or daughter of God that ever died and was taken out of this place. You know why? Because there ain't never been a son or daughter ever died. Never since the beginning, before the foundation of the world, God gave this to us in Christ. And the Bible said it was brought to light at Calvary. When the veil was rent, when your intellectual veil is rent, when the glass darkly that you see through as your intellectual sight toward God, when that thing is taken away by the brightness that is coming, when it's eradicated, when the veil is taken away, as it was with Rebekah when she went into the secret chambers. There, when Isaac lifted the veil to kiss her lips, there, as the veil was lifted, she saw him not as through a glass darkly. She never beheld him that way anymore. Oh, Brother Paul, when he got caught up into the third heaven, oh, he saw something, folks. After that, he knew that he was part of the bride of Christ and that God had kissed the lips of the bride. Now, it wasn't the third heaven having seen things that was not even permissible for him to speak. Coming back, being our overseer, he said, folks, I would that you were spiritual. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. I'd like to speak unto you as I'm the spiritual, but since in your veins, I can't do that. So then, the veil being taken away, the veil being rent in twain, getting over the Jordan of the carnal mind, coming into the things of God. God wants you to know that you're God's. How can I get over my carnal mind, Brother Pike? By realizing I'm not a carnal person anymore. Amen. To realize it's not me living, as Paul said, but it is Christ living within me. The Heavenly Father speaking to you this morning and not me. If I was speaking, I'd be out chilling with the things I did before I become a Christian. Show that it's not me speaking, but it's your Heavenly Father speaking to you because He loves you. Because He wants to be with you. Oh, you would say, but Brother Pike, you're just a man. And I ain't going to follow no man. I'll tell you what, I don't blame you a bit. I don't follow no man. You shouldn't follow no man. We shouldn't follow no man. But Brother God said it's not him living, but it's Christ living within him. And the life I live for the Son of God. So you're not following a man. You're following bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You're following the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular whose temple ye are. So then we're following God. Let them go out there and lift up their ball players. Let them go out there and lift up their celebrities. Let them go out there and lift up their leaders. Let us lift up our leaders. Let us lift up our people. Let us lift up the talents of these that love God. That really love God, that are genuine. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost up here. Brother Herman's got this thing in good shape for a guy here. So then, ye are God's. To get over the carnal mind, to get over the Jordan, is to get over your human reasoning. You're born with human reasoning. But God said, lean not to thine own understanding. Get rid of that. Cast down every thought and bring it into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. To meditate in His laws day and night. Take the word. Get the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So then, everyone that be perfect shall be equal with his master. No man above his master. But every man that be perfect shall be as his master. Isn't that beautiful? See, God, the Holy Spirit, is wanting to work through the membership of His body. He doesn't want you to sit back all afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He doesn't want you to sit back like you're half-hearted, that you're dirty and filthy, and don't know what to do. He doesn't want you to draw all up in your faith there to where He can't stimulate you and quicken you. He wants you to throw yourself out open before God and say, hallelujah, I'm bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. And I belong to Almighty God. I'm free. I'm clean. Yeah. How you can breathe a breath of fresh air. Glory to God. Got power over death, power over sin, power over these things. I'm alive forevermore. I once was dead in trespasses and sin, but I'm alive forevermore now. I'm not that old natural body of a living soul that I once was. That soul that could sin and die. I passed from that soulless realm, and today I am in the realm of the Spirit. I am a quickening spirit. I've been regenerated. I'm in a new generation. I'm in the generation of Adam. Glory to God, I'm alive. I'm clean. I'm holy. I'm upright. I'm pure. Not because of something I've done, but because of what He done for me. Hallelujah. So then, the question arises again, why then, Brother Pike, do they beat on us? It is for the redemption of the body. God is trying to redeem your body. He's trying to bring your body out. It isn't that he hasn't paid the price for it. At Calvary, when he said it's finished, everything was taken care of. And he paid the price for your body and spirit. But the thing is, he said, you save yourself from this under regeneration. That is, the conformity of the body is up to you. I've made everything clean. I've made you holy. You've got all power over the power of the devil. He can't cause you no trouble. He may tempt you. He may cause you to stumble. He may aggravate you. Or you may stagger along because of a lack of knowledge. And you could perish if you don't come to the knowledge. That is to say, as to the redemption of the body, you could perish. But folks, he's giving you understanding. He's giving you something. He's telling you something. He wants you to come into something. But that old boy or girl, teenager or whatever, that wants to get down in the lewdness and the filth of the world, that's after ball games and after passions and after all these things, dirty and filthy, leave them alone and get away from them. Stay away from them. There are snakes in the grass. And they're out there among you teenagers, and they'll pollute your mind and kill everything that God's given you. So you give them orange seed to the things you've heard from God. Lest you let them slip, take heed how that you hear them. Lest the judgments of God come upon you. See, God's going to get that boy. God's going to get that girl. They'll pull him out of a wreck. He'll be torn to pieces. God will let Satan mutilate him. See, if he wants to be a devil, let him get out there with the devils. Stay with the devils and stay up among our teenagers. Stay up among our people. Let him get on out there and rock and roll. Let him get out there and vomit his own vomit and lap his own vomit. Let the old sow get out there. Let her go back to her wallowing in the mire. Keep her away from here. You can't eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. See, all of my tables are full of vomit, which means lukewarm. I spew you out of my mouth. So then, let's get on over the Jordan. Let's go into the Canaan land, that great, wonderful unveiling, to get there into that wonderful thing of God. Don't die in the wilderness. I say again, Pharaoh swallowed up in the Red Sea, sins are gone. But there's a wilderness, there's a learning of the law, there's a giving of God, there's a great manifestation where God is showing himself to you from the great mountain of fire. See, let's get over the carnal mind. Let's get that indoctrination. Let's get that word of God. Let's get over the Jordan. Let's get over all carnal lust and desire for the things of the world. Come ye out of the world. Be ye a separate people, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean things. Let's get out of there, folks. Let's get out of there. Let's come with God. Let's go with God. Let's walk with God. And if you've done wrong, God said he'll hear you here. But he said, remember, if you corrupt your ways, you're going to shorten your days by your disobedience. You're going to be cut off. You understand what I'm saying? So then, what should we do? Be holy, for I am holy. Be perfect, for I am perfect. Go on to please him. Stay away from the others. Don't let them get power over your mind and power over your spirit. I don't care what kind of face they got. I don't care what kind of personality they got. Stay away from it. Put your hands down and say, stay away from me, you snake in the grass. I don't want you. Glory to God, you young ladies, you young women that are looking for husbands. You're not going to find a husband out there. You'll find a snake out there and find yourself married to one of them. Stay away from it. Find you. He's got a godly boy for you. He's got somebody that's a God. And God should be joined to God's. And you young men that are looking for girls, don't go running after somebody that's running around in shorts and ain't got no virtue, ain't got no sense of reasons. That's going to be the mother of your children. Stay away from that. That's a garbage can. Stay away from it. When they paint their faces up like a bunch of Jezebels, stay away from it. Hallelujah. Look for your real lady. You'll get your real God. You'll find a fine lady. I mean something that'll make you happy all the days of your life. But oh, my brother, sister, if you marry something that you don't understand, and that thing is in the cage of that human body, once that thing begins to uncoil, once that thing begins to come out of there, once you hear those words, it begins to spit out the poison, and that old funky tongue, as we say, you're going to wish you had never messed with that thing. After all, the face is going to look so pretty after a while. It's just going to look like another face, and you're going to find yourself looking for another face. If that's all you married. The form is going to be that way all the time. There'll be a change in it. You love the Lord? Praise God, them that love the Lord. Them that can understand, them that get this knowledge by faith, it will come forth in their heart. It will translate them and make them eternally young, eternally rich, eternally strong. They will pass through the veil of death. How many know that we're on a journey? Hallelujah. Like the song said, we're on a journey from another country to that great, wonderful country that's over on the other side of Jordan. Is that right? So then all we have to do is walk with him. Follow your pastor. Follow your leader. Listen. Let me say this right here in closing. Get away from these people that keep saying, don't follow man. Don't follow man. Don't follow man. It's okay for them to say that if they know what they're saying. You don't need to follow man. But get away from that when people are trying to pull you away from the evangelist. Pull you away from the pastor. Pull you away from leaders. Sheep don't go leave the shepherd. They follow the shepherds. Until the chief shepherd appears. You need one. He must present you to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're a God man and a God woman, you're a God man and a God woman from the foreknowledge of God. Amen. You never have been anything else. You won't never be anything else. You're not a beast. You're not something to be taken and destroyed. You're on the other side of that veil. You're on the other side of that Jordan. You're in the land of light, folks. Be kind to dumb animals. Don't go out there and jump on them. And there might be some elect out there. Have a light so they can see how to get out of the darkness. You love the Lord?
Amen.
I want you to stand with me because I could go on and go on and go on. I love to talk about the things of God. But I know that you've got to get home, and I know that we've got a service tonight. Preaching around the world. Radio, television, tent. Out in the streets, out in the highways, hedges, campaigns overseas or wherever. I've got one word, and that's his word. That's all. He that God sends will speak God's word. And I come to you this morning because I love you. You're very dear to my heart. People at Olive Branch are very dear to my heart. They're great, mighty people. Some great, mighty people here. And if we had the time, and you had the time and the patience, this morning we could relate some things to you that would tell you who you are. You are certain people in God's knowledge. Did you know that? And we could tell you who you are. And tell you what your purpose is and why God put this place here at Olive Branch. And what it all has to do with. And why Brother Herman is your pastor. Why the things happen like it has. See, but the thing you've got to do is trust God. You might not understand all of that. But you've got to trust God. Remember, if you're of God, you're going to go with God. If you're not of God, you're not going to go with God. And if you're of God, you're going to live holy. You're going to be holy. Your nature, the love of God will constrain you. And your nature will cause you to be holy. No doubt about it. He'll do exactly what he wants you to do. The Bible said the steps of a righteous man, they're ordered by the Lord. And he'll tell you exactly. I've watched Olive Branch for a number of years in the mind of God in Revelation. I know why the things has happened like they have happened. I know why you've had the deaths you've had. Why it had to be that way. What it was for. And those things. And why we're here today. The prophets of old, they walked by faith. And they understood what God was doing. You know, but if you don't understand, just be dear children. Remember, God said the parents are left for the children. And God knows, and the parents know. They're leading you. They know what they're doing. The song says, Moses knows the way through the wilderness. All you have to do is just follow. So then we're coming to a great hour now. The crossing of the Jordan. We're coming to that great hour. This is the great moment. What a wonderful time this is. What a great day this is. Sad folks, but many of you will never go over the Jordan. Many of you will never make it. Many of you will be on the other side. Remember, God doesn't let those people's eyes come open out there. He doesn't let them see. He can't afford to. He can't afford to. They would despair. He's got to have them to build. He's got to have them to work. He's got to have them to do all those things. And the wicked heap together treasures, to lay up treasures that the righteous might enjoy them. So then they have that travail. We have heaven. We follow Christ. God meets our needs. We don't have to go to Egypt for garlic and onions. Moses built a commonwealth in the wilderness. God took care of it. So then we don't have to get out there to have entertainment and inspiration. We don't have to lap vomit. We don't have to wallow in the mire. We have an artesian well. A fountain open in the house of David. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And you bring that water out of these wells of salvation with joy. With joy. Tell them to rejoice in the Lord forevermore. Be glad. Ye that dwell in heaven, rejoice. If ye are God's, then where are you? You passed from that earthly state of life. That body is dead by the body of Jesus to the world, and the world dead to you. And you passed over the sea down there. And people, you've dropped out of their societies. And you've dropped out of their programs. And they wonder where you are. But see, you're over there in heaven. For the Bible said, ye are not of this world. Satan's the god of this world. Light, vanities, all that pass away. Figments of imagination. Jesus walked right through the wall. But he said, ye are not of this world. I have chosen ye out of this world. I've hid you with Christ. With Christ. With Christ. Where is Christ? I've hid you with Christ. In God. Who is God? The Spirit. I've hid you with the Spirit of Christ. Or in God, I have hid you with Christ. That body was taken up into God. So then I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Until the time of the change of the body. Thessalonians change. Until the time of the redemption. Until the time of the restoring of all things, even the millennium. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Has the heavens received you? Are you hid with Christ in God? Are you sitting in heavenly places? He said, rejoice, ye that are in heaven. Are you then in heaven? Somebody said, oh, wait a minute. I'm waiting for the translation. Folks, that's what this is. Enoch was translated by faith. What he got, what he knew, what he heard, what he understood, and from glory to glory, and from glory to glory. From grammar school, elementary school, right on to high school, right on to college, right on to the diplomacy of life. Moving, Christ, the kingdom of God within you, Christ is spirit. From glory to glory, changing. Ye that dwell in heaven, Jesus said to Nicodemus, no man, he said, has ever come down from heaven except the Son of Man. Except the Son of Man. That is to say, Nicodemus, are you looking at the Son of Man? No one has ever been in heaven but him that ever came down from heaven. And then he looked at Nicodemus and he said, the Son of Man, Nicodemus, who's in heaven? Nicodemus could have said, but I'm talking to you. He could have said, that doesn't make any difference. I'm in heaven, Nicodemus. You're in the earth. You're earthly. I'm heavenly. I came from heaven. I go back to heaven. I'm in heaven. All the time that he walked this earth, he was in heaven. Can a man be in the earth and be in heaven? Someone would say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. Well, how was it that he appeared with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration? And his raiment did glisten. All he did was tabernacle in a human body. Someone would say, well, what happened after that? He came back down into the human body. How was it Paul was up into the third heaven? Whether in the body or out of the body, said, I can't tell. How was it that John saw a door open and was caught up in heaven? You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Ye that dwell in heaven, he said, rejoice. Rejoice. If you've got God on the inside, you can rejoice. You can be happy. Ye that are in heaven, ye that can believe, ye that are passed over death, ye that are passed over the boundaries of worlds. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pius, too much. I can't get a hold of that. It's okay. Just hold on to what you got till you get there. You can't cross a bridge till you get to it. Just hold on. It's just like I told you. You'll be shocked one day. One day, something has happened. Something happened at Calvary. Jesus said, it's finished. It's up to you now. Transitional change of believing down through the church ages from one glory to another. It's up to you now. Jacob's stairway to heaven. It's up to you now. Jesus said, and as it was with the angels descending upon the stairway, from henceforth ye shall see the angels from heaven descending, going to and fro upon the Son of Man. There's a message. There's a word. Them people are natural. You're spiritual. Let's get out of our elementary side of training and let's go into Canaan. Let's go into Canaan. What you hear, what you know, what you can believe. You others will hear it, but it won't. Your reflectors. It'll never go into your heart. You'll just hear it. It'll be a reflection. It'll never go into your heart. With the heart, man believeth. But it'll never go into your heart. That means you'll never make it. You're also in heaven. You're there as a reflector. But those stars are going to fall from heaven. Wandering stars for whom the mist of darkness is reserved for them. their wells without water, waves foaming out their own shape. So then, thus stars are going to fall, but you'll never fall. As the day star, the sun is a burning light. You can never fall because you're part of him, and he's part of you, and you're one. Father, make these one even as we're one. Let me say this in closing. Make these one how, Father? By giving them your glory. The Bible said his glory he will not give to another. But we're not another. We're his body, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So he said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. Give these my glory, Father, because this is me, this is my body, this is my bone and flesh, this is my membership. I want these to be where I am. Wherever I am, let these be there also, beholding my glory. All right, so then we're here in Christ. We're here to love the Lord. Don't be enticed. Don't be enticed and drawn away by anything. Not anything. Not anything. Keep on walking with the Lord. Keep on putting the flesh down. Keep on overcoming the flesh. Keep on making it silent. Keep it silent except in Christ. Bring it alive in the world of God as the body of Jesus. Put the first birth down. Keep yourself alive in God. Bring that body out more and more. And just breathe a good breath and say, hallelujah. God, there's not one thing against me, not even the shadow of a point of a pen, the finest that was ever home. Not anything. I'm perfect in his sight because of him. And I'm going to make this body conform to his desire and his way. And I'm going to love him with all my heart. And I'm going to do everything I can to please him, to walk in the light as he is in the light, that we might have fellowship as a member of his body one with another. Let's sing this little song together. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you cross to the other side, you shall be free. Sing with me. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Do you believe that? Let's lift our hands up to God now. If you believe that, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands up. While Brother Taylor is playing on the organ, without any enticement at all, if you believe the word, if you got faith in the word, I want you to step out here up before the altar this morning. I just want you to step out up here at the altar. And I want you to do that to show me that you really believe what I said this morning. To show me that you really believe what I said this morning. If you don't believe it, don't step out. It's okay. It's okay. Don't do it. Brother Pike will feel bad at you. But if you believe it, as it was in the minister's meeting, then at the minister's meeting, I asked for them to step out. They believed. And did you know we had 100%? And if you believe it this morning, then just step out. Come on up here with us. Folks, I'm alive forevermore. I once was dead, but I'm alive. How many are alive? Let me see. Hey, I'm alive forevermore. Praise God. I'll tell you something to talk to a living man. Someone would say, what do you mean by that? I mean somebody that isn't going to die. I'm not going to die. I can't die. No way to die. Every one of you believe that, raise your hand. There ain't no way you can die. If you're a son and daughter of God, it's impossible for you to die. I wish we had time to elaborate on it. And maybe at the 10th tonight, we might say a little something depending on the way the Spirit moves or the anointing moves. But folks, there ain't no way that you can die if you're a son of God. And you take my word for it. But you might not understand it. We'll explain it a little more. But folks, you're alive. Glory to God, you're alive. You're not waiting from one revival to another. You are alive. Brother Charles, you're alive. Glory to God, I'm telling you, believe that too. And folks, when you believe that, something starts happening on the inside. There's a stimulation on the inside. Lord God, you start believing there's an activation that comes over you. And I'll tell you, you begin to feel something. If you feel something, raise your hand. Lord God, he said, I'll quicken your spirit. I am a spirit. I'll quicken your mortal body, even your fleshly body. I'm feeling my fleshly body by the spirit that's within you. Lift your hands up and close your eyes here. Read them there. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? God is so good. God is so good. Hallelujah. While you've got your hands up, I want to pray for you. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands. It's my pleasure this morning just to get to speak to you. I want you to lift your hands up and I want you to close your eyes and I want you to pray with me. Now, folks, pray with me. Will you pray out loud? Pray with me. I want to call on the name of the Lord. And I want you to call on the name of the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God of heaven is being standing here before you today. I want you to bless my precious brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to heal their bodies. Break the yoke, God. Move the yoke from off of them. And dear God, let them be healed. Father, let them be healed. God, heal their bodies this morning. I know that you want to heal them, Father. I know that you want to make them well. I'm asking you to heal them this morning. God, take away their sins this morning. Take away everything that's unlike Christ this morning, God. I ask you to do it. I ask you to move by your power. Move by your spirit. God, in the mighty name of Jesus this morning, send down that quickening eternal life. That eternal life, that Christ spirit. Send it down within our hearts this morning. Let us be quickened by your power, by your greatness, by your knowledge, by your understanding. God, to heal these people. Father, to motivate these hearts and to move them on into great, wonderful things of God. Lord, that they can be healed, that they can be saved, that their little ones can bless. Dear God, that they can be mighty lights walking through the earth, God. We pray that you do it in your great, wonderful name. In your great, wonderful name. Keep your hands up and your eyes closed and meditate just for a few minutes. I want you to do this. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word of God. See if you be in the faith this morning. I want you to see if you're in the faith this morning. While you're standing here with your hands up and your eyes closed, just before I turn it back to Brother Herman, I want to say this to you. We love you. We appreciate you. God's with you, folks. I can feel it. You need to rejoice forevermore, you that are in his presence. Hallelujah. While we're standing here with you this morning, let that great spirit come into your heart. Father, let it, people, let it